genocide committed against civilians in the Gaza Strip is a proof that Israel is trying to wipe out the entire besieged territory. And if this happens, people here say they will face the same destiny. Muna Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
Chants against the U.S. and Israel resonated through streets of Pakistan as angry protesters set their flags alight. People across Pakistan came together to observe Friday as a day of solidarity with the Palestinians, expressing their unwavering support for the liberation of Palestine. The gesture is intended to demonstrate Pakistan's commitment to the rights and welfare of Palestinian people. The streets of key Pakistani cities were filled with demonstrators condemning the ongoing Israeli aggression against the Palestinians in the occupied territories.
We can see that in the whole world, the people, they are now admiring that the Palestinian people, they have the right to live in their own homeland, which was actually over-occupied by the Israelis. So here, the people of Pakistan, they are showing their emotions, their sensation and their feelings to support this cause.
We are here to show the support to the people of Palestine.
We condemn the Israeli bombing on Gaza.
The Friday prayers in mosques across Pakistan were dedicated to Palestinian cause, with special prayers offered for peace and justice in the war-torn region. The demonstrators emphasized the importance of a just and lasting solution to the Palestine issue, one that recognizes the rights and aspirations of people of Palestine.
Today, the whole of Pakistan is on the streets to tell the people of Palestine that they are not alone and we all stand by you. You are the one who teaches us how to stand firm against the oppressor. Palestinians have not only shown that they are brave enough but also prove that they are real Husseinis and are also true Muslims.
These protest rallies seek an end to violence, observance of human rights and Palestinian liberation.
The protests in Pakistan are part of a global movement in support of the Palestinian cause. During rallies, people around the world express their solidarity with the Palestinians and call for an end to Israel's aggression. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
A large crowd of Afghans marching in Kabul to show their solidarity with Palestinians facing Israeli atrocities and bloodshed in Gaza. The protesters waved Palestinian flags and chanted slogans against Israel and the United States, saying they will stand with their brothers and sisters in Palestine forever.
The Afghanistan Mujahid Nation has gathered today here to appraise and to withstand with their brothers in Palestine, especially in Gaza, the Mubarak operation of Tufan al-Aqsa, which has shown us the weakness of our enemy, the Zionist enemy, Israel. And also we are here to stand with our civilian brothers and sisters who are being killed, tortured, and bombed, and being blasted by the Israeli Zionist regime, committing an act of war crime under the eyes of the international community by support of the biggest Satan of this world, the United States and the European countries.
The participants condemned the Israeli war on Gaza and U.S. support for the killing of innocent Palestinians. They also called on all Muslim nations to unite around Palestine and fight global arrogance and oppression.
The American tank, the American bomb, the American thing coming to Palestine, they killing Palestinian civilian. They kick out the Palestinian from his own house. The Muslims should stand together. They need to act together. The way the American, the Yahud, the Nasara act together, the Muslims should do the same thing. Why they are sleeping?
For the sake of God, it is a shame for the Arab nations to witness their Palestinian brothers suffer and do nothing. Where is your courage and Islamic brotherhood? If you are not supporting Palestine in the face of our worst enemy, you can't claim to be a Muslim. You should make it clear whether you are with the Muslim Ummah or with the occupiers.
The rally in Kabul was one of the many demonstrations held across the world in support of Palestine. Millions of Muslims condemn the Israeli regime's atrocities against the people of Palestine, as the Tel Aviv regime kept pounding the Gaza Strip with bombs and continued its complete siege on the area. Afghan people have always supported Palestinians in the face of atrocities and occupation. Today, they join other nations to call for an immediate end to Israeli assaults and killings of innocent people in Gaza. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
In Paris, thousands of people protested despite a new nationwide ban on all pro-Palestinian demonstrations, which appears certain to cause global condemnation. While a pro-Israel protest in Paris was immediately approved on Monday, pro-Palestinian protests always require 3 days of waiting, which many in France have often found unfair. On Thursday, the permit was applied for, but the interior minister refused to issue a protest permit and instead declared his blanket ban, which was then approved by the judicial branch.
It's been 6 years of dictatorship under Macron. We don't have the right to freedom of assembly. We don't have the right to defend the oppressed. And we don't have the right to remind the world that France is among those who are persecuting Palestinians the very most.
The government alleged that pro-Palestinian demonstrations were a threat to public order, which many found inaccurate, biased, and insulting. In 2014, France became the first country ever to ban pro-Palestinian demonstrations, which were in response to Israel's latest invasion of Gaza, which caused more than 13,000 casualties, the vast majority of them civilians. France's pro-Palestinian demonstrators repeatedly defied the ban, leading to police brutality and even more global condemnation. France continually holds itself up as a beacon of human rights, but from the yellow vests to Palestine to anti-austerity resistance, many say the government and media collude to deny an honest picture of French public opinion and even fundamental human freedoms.
The media refuses to talk about the children and families who are being massacred right now by the inhuman bombing in Gaza. We are making an appeal to President Macron right now to stop. It's your job to demand the peace, which the French people insist upon.
As soon as the sun went down, French riot police unleashed water cannons, batons, tear gas, and arrests. Tear gas was launched indiscriminately at children and old people, as is common at French protesters, and which routinely goes without condemnation or even notice from Western commentators. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
The developments in Palestine stir up a range of emotions in South Africans: religious, humanitarian, historical, and personal.
As a young person, when I participated in the struggle against apartheid, I could immediately identify with the Hamas fighters breaking out of the Gaza Strip. It was a moment of excitement, a moment in which I would have wanted to step out of the ghettos in which we were living. And I could fully understand and appreciate the frustration under which the people of Gaza has been living and the fighters of Hamas have been operating.
But for others, the ongoing Israeli atrocities over successive campaigns of terror against the Gaza Strip in particular have shown them the true face of Zionism.
The subjugation of the Palestinian people is nothing but racism. And therefore, irrespective of from which perspective we come, if we are serious about it and if we have a shred of humanity, we must be opposed to racism.
I decided to stand for humanity and justice. What is going on in Palestine today is unequivalent to anything else that we've seen in this world.
When the whole world is looked away, that's what they've resorted to. And now for me, it said we need to continue to stand with them throughout this to show that they are not alone. And they don't need to listen to other media outlets where they say that they are the bad ones, that other people believe in their struggle and in their cause.
In fact, it is quite disappointing, it's distasteful, it's embarrassing that we still have South Africans that have experienced apartheid and still support Israel.
And it is that cohort of South Africans that protesters came to deliver their message to.
The Zionist Center behind me has been quiet, but South African Zionists are active in the Israeli aggression and routinely send over South African citizens to fight in the Israeli occupation force. Protesters have demanded that the South African government take action against them.
As Palestinians continue to face the brutally racist Zionist regime, those who had just a mere taste of Zionism's twin sister year have vowed to keep up protests. Asin Siriep, Cape Town.
Palestinians in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah took to the streets again on the Israel's war on the besieged Gaza Strip. The horrific footage from Gaza over the past days cannot help but shock, protesters say.
The airstrikes and the massacres being carried out in the Gaza Strip is under the protection of the American administration. And what's going on is terrifying. Israel cut the water and the electricity. People will not have access to food and fuel. Israeli occupation army is shelling residential buildings, and they're evacuated. Children, women, and elderly are killed and remain under the rubble. These images hurt the feelings, but unfortunately, we're speaking about a cruel enemy. Nothing will affect them. They're killers.
We Palestinians hold the same blood here in Ramallah and in Gaza, but it is their destiny that they are on the battlefield. Gazans hold the Arab and Islam flag. They continue to keep the Arab heads up. The least to do today is to take part in the protests and demonstrations. The least to do is going to the military checkpoints and areas where settlements are and clash with them. Our blood is one, and we are in the same path.
People were chanting for the Gaza Strip and for Hamas fighters while they were touring the main streets of Ramallah. Since the start of the Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, Palestinians say they struggle to live normal lives. As the streets were really eerie, Palestinian officials who were taking part in the rally pointed out that the bloodiest operation in Gaza requires immediate international intervention to protect the Gazans, who have been suffering for years because of the Israeli blockades and wars.
Today, all forms of comprehensive resistance must be adopted. This war has literally united people of different political affiliations, and with our unity, we can fight the genocidal war. This genocide is being carried out by the fascist Israeli regime. Today, it's urgently needed to address the United Nations to ensure the protection of Gaza residents. We must also work on prosecuting the Israeli regime for the crimes committed against the Palestinian people.
Israel has imposed a full lockdown, which tightens the grip on the daily lives of the residents of the occupied West Bank. A heavy military presence has converged all over the West Bank, preventing transporting between West Bank areas because of the closure of military checkpoints. Since Saturday, Israeli forces have killed over 25 Palestinians and wounded a few hundred others. Many of them were taking part in pro-Gaza rallies. Protests against Israel's war on the besieged Gaza Strip have spread all over Palestinian territories. However, while Israel's onslaught on Gaza goes on unabated, more Palestinians are being killed in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds, Mouna Qandil, occupied Ramallah.
It's feared that Israel is engaging in an act of genocide across the Gaza Strip. Amid the deadly bombing, essential services have been cut off, all exits have been closed by the regime's forces, and vital aid is not being allowed in. EU foreign affairs ministers held emergency talks on Tuesday and had to concede that Israel is breaking international law.
The United Nations has already said that, as cutting water, cutting electricity, cutting food to a mass of civilian people is against international law.
It's suggested the sheer scale of the latest crisis could be an impetus for positive change.
This could be an awakening moment in order to re-engage with the problem of Palestinians and Israel.
Campaigners in Belgium are condemning Israel's latest onslaught.
This mass aggression and bombing in Gaza cannot eliminate the action of the Palestinian resistance, who came flying and on the ground fighting for liberation of Palestine from the river to the sea.
We, the Palestinian diaspora, have to be united. We can see today the hypocrisy of the West still funding and supporting the Zionist colonies and settlements inside Palestine. This must be stopped.
The EU's executive arm is being forced to backtrack after Commissioner Oliver Varhelyi tweeted on Monday that all funding to Palestine is being cut off.
The announcement which was made by Commissioner Varhelyi was not preceded by consultations with any member of the college.
Regarding Israel's latest blatant flouting of international law, there's no sign that the EU will take any action. It has never done so in the past. We have already seen pro-Palestinian rallies take place around the world since Saturday. Now groups here in Belgium have announced they will hold similar events in the coming days. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The people of Pakistan have attended a massive rally in the capital city of Islamabad to voice their anger against the atrocities committed by Israel in the Palestinian territories. They expressed their solidarity with the Palestinian people and called for an end to Israel's occupation of their land.
We demand from international communities that they should take action towards this inhumanity, and they should do something, put action towards this. Like, they are suffering for 70 years. The Palestinians suffering from 70 years, daily basis.
We're here to stand in support of the activities happening in Palestine by Hamas against the illegal Israeli occupation.
The demonstrators also slammed the United States for supporting Israel, saying the so-called champion of human rights is providing financial and military assistance to Israel for killing innocent men, women, and children in Palestine.
As America has announced the one-sided support of Israel, all Muslim Ummah, especially OIC, called its meeting and announced the support of the Palestinian fighters because they are under atrocities of the Israel, and all the Muslim Ummah has to support Palestinians.
The protesters urge the Muslim world to unite and put an end to attacks on Palestinians.
The firm stance of Pakistan is on Palestine's freedom and refusal to recognize Israel as a legitimate state reflects their commitment to the principles of justice, human rights, and international laws. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to his mightiness. So to thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may his blessings be upon his messenger endlessly, and his salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for thee. I ask thee concerning the complaints of thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among thy servants, of a handmaid from among thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask thee, O he who owns all objects of need which are granted by his will and hastened to his desire, that thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that thou willest, and givest me mercy from thee. Forgiveness decreases thee not, and giving injuries thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from thee: the facility to obey thee at its beginning, and the favor of thy forgiveness at its end. O he who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Over 700 children murdered. This type of fatality is truly hard to absorb, but that is what Israel has done with U.S. bombs and support, including European officials. As Europeans and people from all walks of life have poured onto the streets in solidarity with Palestinians, the great divide between them and their politicians and leaders has become even more evident that they are supporting an Israeli regime and its massacres. Meanwhile, incidents in the OPT, the occupied Palestinian territories, have increased, which could be another front that Israel has to deal with. This on top of the evacuation orders that Israel has announced for 1 million Palestinians to leave northern Gaza Strip into the southern part of the Gaza Strip, a move condemned by many Palestinians and Persian Gulf Arab countries. First, let me introduce our guest for this edition of the Spotlight. Khalid Kadoumi, the Hamas representative here in Iran joins us from Tehran. Also, Saeed Mohsen Abbas, who's a journalist and political commentator, joins us from London. Khaled Kadoumi, I'll first start with you. I can't help but start out with the unfortunate humanitarian stat that has still rattled the cages of anybody who has any type of emotion or sense within their psyche, and that is the fact that you have 700 children that have been murdered. Israel says that it tries to prevent civilian casualties. Do you believe Israel?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, thank you for having me. Who believes Israel except those barbaric super forces in the world? Top of them is the Blinken and so-called democratic government in United States of America. This massacre, mass massacre, has been perpetrated during the presence of the American Foreign Secretary yesterday in Tel Aviv, while the Israeli army has thrown leaflets over the people, threatening them to move forcefully from their places. Our people, they are deep-rooted in our homeland in Palestine, so they did not listen. But unfortunately, some of innocent humans, they moved from a house to other house in the next street. According to this threatening, the result was a massacre created by the bombardment of Israeli criminal army. And at that time, we received 70 martyrs and more than 250 injured because of that thing. This is the actual face of Israel. Israel is an entity which has been initiated based on fabricated narratives and lies.
The news that I want to recite to you, Saeed Mohsen Abbas, is about the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, who visited the Israeli regime forces on the front line, on the border front line. And this is what he said. Are you ready for what is coming? More is coming, when turning to reporters. What does that say about the face of the Israeli regime?
Well, it says that they are infanticidal maniacs. They're ethnic cleansing. They've been doing that for decades and decades. There's a genocidal tinge to everything that they do. They want to depopulate, it seems. That's the track record of this regime. And now you've got the worst iteration ever seen, with some of the most diabolically right-wing fascist Zionists that you can imagine. I mean, the whole movement is that way. But if you could imagine it getting any worse, well, you've got it with the present government's makeup. Now, you know, infanticide, I don't use words like this lightly. When you listen to the idea, the figures, you know, 600-700 plus children bombed to smithereens, you know, at least, if you like, half the total number, 1,900 that you've quoted so far and counting, are also women, actually women and children. So what else do you want me to say? Infanticide is exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu was talking about when he was revving up his kind of his stormtroopers. And this is basically exactly out of almost like a Hollywood movie. That's where he seems to be playing out this nightmarish reality for Palestinians, because they are the Galactic Empire, which literally wants to smash to smithereens this oppressed people. I mean, they can't even stand them being there in any shape and form, by the looks of things now. So, that's basically egged on by the Americans and by the Anglo-Zionist empire itself. So these people really, what can one say? I mean, they were not so long ago harping on about how the Palestinians weren't into the idea of a two-state solution and they weren't being peaceful, or, you know, all these kinds of nonsense red herrings that they kept the Palestinians dangling with. And now the first time that they've actually had the fist of the Palestinian resistance hit them, they seem to be going genocidal even more.
Sure. Well, Khaled Kadoumi, what has happened, which is in a sense extraordinary? We had the Hamas political bureau chief come and make statements on what has occurred, and basically praising the Palestinians who did not heed the warning for that evacuation from the north to the southern part of the Gaza Strip. And you have countries that actually have come out and supported the fact that this should not happen. There's comparisons being made to another second intifada, and that Palestinians, as Ismail Haniyeh stated, are not going to give up their land. This is their land. Why should they pick up from the land and go somewhere else? But for the countries to come out and support them in that way, what does that say about what appears to be a defeat for Israel in terms, at least up to this point, in terms of what it has requested Palestinians to do?
Actually, this is the second appearance for Ismail Haniyeh since 7th of October. And in both of his speech, he was drafting milestones in the confrontation against the Israeli enemy. Today, he came with few important concepts. One is the call for our people not to listen to the threatening and fabricating story by the enemy, because yesterday it was evident that the enemy cannot be believed. Second, he called upon the international community to prevent the forced transfer of our people from their homeland, because this will not be allowed. Third is to appreciate the stance of Egyptian to refuse to make a new era of refugees and displacement of our people. That is a very against the international law and against the values of humanity. Fourth, and most important, to emphasize the steadfastness of our people. You know, our masses yesterday and Friday, along with the masses in the Muslim Ummah and in the streets of the world, they marched after Jummah prayers to express the solidarity with Palestine. But our masses in Gaza yesterday, during the bombardment, they came in marches in order to cherish the resistance leaders, in order to emphasize that they are rooted in this land and they will not allow a new transfer and a new displacement. So they were deserving to be appreciated and to be respected by the leader of resistance, Ismail Haniyeh. And last point is a message for the enemy, that their threatening to the resistance is futile, because the resistance movement soldiers, they have endorsed, they have created a new book in the confrontation saga in front of this barbaric enemy, while their through their achievements in the field, through the achievements politically, through achievements in their narrative internationally even, that we are still in a defensive state under the biggest crime against humanity, that is the occupation. So Tufan al-Aqsa, the flood of al-Aqsa, will swipe this enemy and this occupation.
Our guests have talked about these solidarity rallies. Sayed Mohsen Abbas, where you're at, was one of the biggest with the drone shots that we saw, block after block of what seemed to be hundreds of thousands that came out. And this was also seen around the world, which is reflective, if you agree, of the great divide that exists now between the people and their officials, wherever they are, who are supporting the Israeli regime. Tell us how significant that is.
The fact that so many people turned up at such short notice tells you that people emotionally are with the Palestinian cause. No matter how many trillions the Zionist regime and their allies in the West spend, and they spend an awful lot of money in terms of false propaganda and running all these kind of psychological operations to try and persuade their public that that what they're doing is right, and that the oppressor is the oppressed. That's been the target. I mean, I'll give you a story. My son goes on cartoons time with various YouTube videos. Every half an hour, less than half an hour, there's a new version of Zionist propaganda aimed at children. I mean, it's shocking. That's the level that they've gone to, that they will try to indoctrinate people. Yet still, what you're seeing is millions and millions of people around the world turn out and go with their hearts and go with their humanity. And this is the key. What we're not just fighting for here is Palestinians and their right to existence. This is a question of humanity. I mean, what kind of civilization are we really looking for in the 21st century? We're meant to be moving forward, and here we've got neoliberal, neoconservative Zionists trying to tell us that settler colonialism and imperialism of the medieval times and onwards is okay. Well, it's not okay, and the public is saying this right across the board. And yes, protesting does have an impact. The politicians do get little bit more scared, but infrastructure, you've got to understand, is systemically geared towards supporting Israel. It is systemically Zionist. You go listen to people like Keir Starmer, even the opposition guy here, Rishi Sunak, here in Britain. They literally, bow at the feet of Zionist interests, and they dare not say anything because the minute they do, they will be out of office. More can be done, though. I have to say that this is a jihad, and jihad comes with Bill Callum, with the pen, with the voice, with your general demeanor, with your attitude in terms of the charity you give towards the oppressed. There are many more ways that the public can be encouraged to support the Palestinian cause.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Well, the Iranian foreign minister, I'm sure you're aware, Khalid Kadoumi, has been on a regional tour, and he has met the resistance groups, in particular Hezbollah. And he said, but this is going back a number of hours ago, that there's still maybe time to prevent the Israeli killing machine from continuing its killings. He didn't use that word, but he said time is running out. He did also say Hezbollah and resistance fighters are ready, which he called could be a political quake if they were drawn into the war, and to use his words, they have their hand on their finger is on the trigger to shoot. How close are we to that?
Well, Israel left no places without enmity. They bombarded through the sovereign borders. They violated those borders. They assassinated scientists in Tunisia, in Malaysia, in Iran, in Iraq, they assassinated political figures in their in uniform. So the Hezbollah and other resistance movement and powers, they are in the line of defending themselves against those Israeli atrocities. Well, I would say that the field, the escalation in the field, is the one who will judge the involvement or the expansion of this battle. According to our spokesperson of Azuddin al-Qassam Brigade, Abu Ubaida, he was saying that we are in close coordination with members of the resistance axis. Hence, I would say that whenever it is required in the past, we haven't seen those friends, those brothers, away from whatever it is needed. Second thing, Hezbollah in particular, they have martyrs today and in the southern of Lebanon. Hezbollah and Lebanese, they have occupied territories by Israeli criminal army. Hence, I mean, this is very natural to be rather... Not only Hezbollah, all Muslim Ummah in the borders has to come forward. Those governments in the neighborhood of so-called Israeli entity, they need to open their borders. They might be not asking the involvement of conventional army, but the people, the masses, look at the million marches. They are all having their own potential to proceed further, to do whatever they know to do. All what is needed from the official stance is to bridge this dichotomy, this gap between them and official stance and the masses' stance. The masses today, they want to take the revenge for the killing of our innocent children inside Palestine. They want to return Al-Aqsa. They want to return the Assyrian Palestine and back and return Palestine to its own environment of Muslim Ummah. These martyrdom and sacrifice being presented by the Palestinian masses deserve different approach from the Ummah at masses level, which they are doing their well, but also at the official stance level.
All right. There's a warning issued by Israel, say Mohsen Abbas, to Hezbollah. And this particular official said that Hezbollah should not start a war on the second front to Israel's north and threaten the destruction of Lebanon if it did. What are we looking at when it comes to this type of a warning, which sounds like it's hot air in a sense, because the U.S. has also, through the U.S. President Joe Biden, has said for regional countries not to take advantage of what's happening. That, in a sense, shows that Israel can't be stretched. Is that a correct look at this?
I think the game changes significantly if Israel has to fight on two fronts. Already, Hezbollah has been keeping them occupied. Mortar attacks were changed, fire was exchanged today, missiles were exchanged. A number of combatants have lost lives over the days. Hezbollah has repeatedly put out a message to the Americans saying, you better not get involved, otherwise we're going to target your bases. And they've also said that they're in full readiness. The foreign minister of Iran reported today that Sayyid Nasrallah says that we're fully ready for any circumstance. And so many times the message has come from Sayyid Nasrallah to say that Israel's defense mechanisms are like a spider's web. And the Al-Aqsa Tufan has shown you that web is not that strong. And the reality is that if Hezbollah were to join, rather than Israel boasting about what it's going to do Lebanon, it should be looking very carefully at how it's going to be able to even defend its own borders, because the last two occasions, as I recall it, the Lebanese Hezbollah have given the Israeli army a jolly good trouncing. I mean, were able to hammer the Merkava tanks. They were able to use tactics and skills and weaponry, which would shock the Israelis into stopping their invasion of Lebanon, and they had to go scuttling back with their tails between their legs. Now, how on earth has Israel imagined that they can now do any differently? Because Hezbollah is going to be 10 times stronger. It has potentially ballistic precision missiles. It potentially has drones. It potentially has all sorts of weaponry, which maybe even the Palestinian resistance itself hasn't got, because they've been hemmed in by this concentration camp that they've created around Gaza. And that's what it is, a concentration camp. The same Jews who complained about the Holocaust and concentration camps have done that to the Palestinians, but now no more. There is a resistance, and there is weaponry, and there is a military response, and the Israelis are going to have to get used to that new scenario.
All right, and finally, when we take a look at some of the scenes, Khaled Al-Kadoumi, of celebratory moods that were displayed by Palestinians, like in Lebanon, for example, a couple of days back, maybe it's for the first time that Palestinians have a sense that liberation is close, that they can sense that maybe the tide has turned. How close do you think is that, and whether that's wishful thinking or not?
See, the backbone of this liberation track is the Palestinian people. You know what the type of the steadfastness and the advancement of the resistance of our people in Palestine, in West Bank, in Jerusalem, in Gaza, of course, top of them, it's legendary. I tell you, this is very serious. It is a golden opportunity for everyone to make this caravan of liberation move forward to whatever has been remained, shortly remain to the liberation of Palestine. Our people in the camps of Lebanon, in Syria, in Jordan, they have seen that it is evident that we can do it in a closed, dire situation inside Gaza of 265 square kilometers with no capability of any life. Those people could tried, and they were able to confront this barbaric Israeli, which is undefeatable army used to be today. They penetrated their own, they exploited the security weakness, the intelligence weakness, and they did a lot.
Thank you very much. Sorry to jump in. We're just fresh out of time. Khaled Kadoumi, Hamas representative in Iran, spoke to us from Tehran. Thank you. And Saeed Mohsin Abbas, journalist and political commentator from London. Thank you to you both. With that, we come to an end for this edition of The Spotlight. From Ikova Tawai and the team, it's goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Russian Deputy Energy Minister says the EU's manufacturers are forced to adjust their processes to fit non-Russian supplies. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT wrote, Russian Deputy Energy Minister Sergei Mukhalinkov told RT recently, the EU's industrial sector is suffering from the consequences of last year's ban on Russian coal. According to the official, Russia's coal producers have successfully fended off the challenges posed by the embargo, redirecting most of the supplies of the global south and Asia-Pacific. However, the bloc has been forced to seek alternative coal sources and has dealt with equality issues despite substituting most Russian suppliers. The EU is behaving strangely. They are systematically destroying their industry by rejecting Russian energy, including gas, oil, and coal.
Although, according to last year's results, we saw an increase in their coal consumption, without Russian raw materials, it is harder for them because their production was geared to the quality of Russian coal. Now, buying coal in Africa, Latin America, and Asia, they lose on quality and have to readjust their technological processes. Mokalinkov explained. The deputy minister noted that the majority of this Russian coal, which had to be redirected following the EU ban, went to China and India. Both countries significantly boosted their purchases of the commodity, with China importing 67 million tons from Russia in 2022 compared to a little over 50 million in 2021. India imported more than 20 million tons last year, nearly tripling purchases from 2021. He stated, "We've managed to successfully reorient our markets by turning to the east." Mokalinkov noted that while sanctions did affect Russia's energy industry, it has been steadily recovering over the past year. Any abrupt changes have a negative impact on the financial component. Companies had to look for new partners, new logistics routes, had to face longer delivery times, and were forced to take a different approach to insurance, as sanctions did not just target coal, but also services related to its exports. However, the companies are doing well. And while the financial results are behind those of last year, we expect the coal industry to end 2023 in good shape. The EU embargo on imports of Russian coal was part of the bloc's fifth package of Ukraine-related sanctions against Moscow. The measure came into force in August 2022. Before the ban, the bloc depended on Russia for around 45% of its coal imports, according to data from the European Commission. The EU's industrial leader, Germany, as well as Poland and the Netherlands, were among the largest purchasers. According to Politico, Germany's biggest companies are ditching the fatherland. Chemical giant BASF has been a pillar of German business for more than 150 years, underpinning the country's industrial rise with a steady stream of innovation that helped make Made in Germany the envy of the world. But its latest moonshot, a $10 billion investment in a state-of-the-art complex, the company claims will be the gold standard for sustainable production, isn't going up in Germany. Instead, it's being erected 9,000 kilometers away in China. Confronted by a toxic cocktail of high energy costs, worker shortages, and reams of red tape, many of Germany's biggest companies, from giants like Volkswagen and Siemens to a host of lesser-known, smaller ones, are experiencing a rude awakening and scrambling for greener pastures in North America and Asia. Absent at unexpected turnaround, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that Germany is headed for a much deeper economic decline. The reports from the front lines are only getting worse. Unemployment rose year on year by about 200,000 in June, a month when companies normally add jobs. Though the overall unemployment rate remains low at 5.7% and the number of job vacancies high at nearly 800,000, German officials are bracing for more bad news. German Labour Office head Andrea Nahles said, "We are beginning to feel the difficult economic conditions in the labour market. Unemployment is rising and employment growth is losing momentum."
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Your headlines for this hour.